Hello, Cubs fans. This is David in Alexandria, Virginia, and this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. You can learn more at patreon.com/IvyEnvy.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. This is our 370th episode. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
So this week was a little more low-key for the Cubs than the last two or three weeks, but we do have the Jason Hayward press conference to talk about, and we've got some questions from listeners. Before we get to that stuff, though, let's touch on some stuff that's it's on the calendar. Cubs convention is just a few weeks away, and that always seems to really sneak up on us because of the holidays. It seems, I don't know, it seems so far away right now just because I think there's so many other things going on. And then all of a sudden, like, January starts and it's like, oh, Cubs convention. But it's January 15th through 17th at the Sheridan. The event is sold out, but if you really want to go, there is a listener that has a ticket that he's willing to sell. So email me, and I will connect you. You can email me Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at ivmb.com. I'm going up for it. I believe I read that they sold 20,000 tickets. And Andy, how in case no someone listening has never been to Cubs convention and maybe weren't listening to our podcast a year ago when we went up there, how would you describe that event?
Well, I would describe it as sweaty, claustrophobia inducing. it's just a kind of an exciting chance to see a lot of your favorite players up close and get to hear the players speak. There's a lot of cool panels that you can go to where they will answer moderated questions, so it's there's a lot of autograph hounds there. There's a lot of opportunities for autographs if that's your thing. There's a very cool kids area, you know, where kids can do Cubs related activities and hang out with Clark. I don't know. It's just real. I always just think of that it's so crowded as I've thought about it since then.
I'll brave it as much as I can. If I'm able to get into the rooms, I will be sharing what's going on via our Twitter. And if you're going to the convention, get a hold of me because I would like to meet up and hang out and all that. But hopefully, and if this nice warm December weather carries over, at least it won't be like 30 below. I think I would actually do okay as long as I could like go out and get some fresh air about every hour.
You know, it was very cool being able to hear Kyle Schwarber and Addison Russell speak.
That
was the coolest aspect of it for me, was being able to hear these, you know, their voices and what they have to say and how they handle themselves, I guess, with a lot of attention.
But I like that part of it, the kind of like down on the farm panel or whatever it was called, and the front office panel is really neat too. It's interesting to hear the front office guys talk, and I just think this is a really interesting group, and to hear like Joe Maddon talk when he did, it's just they're really intelligent people in the Cubs front office and affiliated with the team, or you know, involved with the team, and so it's really interesting to hear them. I mean, I really enjoyed listening to Jason McLeod last year. I thought that was really interesting. So it's pretty cool. And it is weird to like be in a hotel and like a Cubs player will walk right past you. You know, it's kind of odd. Or to be standing there and you turn around and Kerry Muscat is standing behind you. And
right. I mean, we saw John Lester, you know, within 5 feet of us, Kerry Wood within 5 feet of us, Ryan Dempster, Tom Ricketts.
Oh yeah.
Saw him.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of surreal at times.
Yeah, it is neat, and it's an experience. And if you're an autograph person, there's a lot of opportunities for that. I'm personally not necessarily an autograph person, so I don't really enjoy all that hubbub. But okay, so that's coming up January 15th through 17th, and then spring training right around the corner. So what's the status on Where's Bert 2016?
Oh boy, you put me on the spot there. It's probably 50-50. Maybe that's optimistic, but it's just that if they didn't have an off day on the Monday you guys are going,
okay,
I'd probably be there.
All right, well, you may not know all of these plans, so let me talk you into it and why that off day is a good thing. First off, I kind of like the off day because that's a day that we can go to the backfields and not really be pressured time-wise to like, oh, we need to get somewhere else, whether it's a home game or an away game. I kind of like the idea of having a good amount of time just to hang out at the backfields. And Kurt, the backfields, at Sloan, I think are really cool. It's not much, it's maybe not quite as intimate as Fitch was, but it is really cool. So yeah, plans are starting to come together. So here's what we know. We'll be there March 19th through the 25th. I know several listeners are planning trips that week to spring training, so it should be a lot of fun. Andy, we had a lot of fun last year, had a blast hanging out with everybody that we met up with out there. I think it's cool this year because we'll be bringing our wives and kids, so that will be fun. So the solid plans are Sunday, March 20th, Danny Rocket, the creator of all the Cubs parodies that you hear and co-host of the Sun Ranto podcast, he and Katie Day, who wrote By the Lakeside, the song, which I think is kind of the anthem of the 2015 season, they are playing a show together, and it's at the Yucca Tap. So that's Sunday, the March 20th. So that, I think that's going to be a lot of fun. The next day, which according to my calendar is a Monday, the Cubs don't play that day. And so I'm thinking kind of a late afternoon, evening party at our rental place. There's a pool, guys, a pool. If I mentioned there's a pool and an air hockey table, and we'll just throw a big party. We'll barbecue, beer, the pool. I need to get into swimsuit shape. But there's a pool
between now and then.
Yes. So those are the plans so far. So put it on your calendar. If you have any questions, email me, Corey@ivmv.com. We'll create some Facebook events for that stuff, and then we can share information and details on there. So,
Do you mean Speedo shape or swimsuit shape?
Well, we'll see. We'll see how big the party is.
See how the off season goes.
Yeah. How much Corey has to drink.
I'm guessing Tawny will not let me take the Speedo.
Banana hammock shape.
Okay. Chris says. Did you guys watch the Hayward press conference? And if you did, do you have any thoughts on what we saw or heard?
I watched it. Yeah. I thought there were a couple interesting parts. Just one being the fact that he didn't take the highest offer, much like Zobrist. He could have made more money, including with the Cardinals, which says a lot.
Yeah. And Kurt, you said you didn't have the opportunity to see it, right?
No, I didn't. I just kind of followed a little bit on Twitter.
Right. Yeah, I listened to it live, and it wasn't as exciting as the Joe Maddon press conference, that's for sure. I don't necessarily blame Hayward for that. He came across as very prepared and careful about what he said, and he's a professional, and I think that came across in the press conference. My main issue was with the media. I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant here. This was
incoming. Take cover.
And if you're listening in the car, go ahead and fast forward 15 minutes.
Okay, this was one of the biggest free agent signings of the offseason in all of baseball. Probably the biggest in the history of the Cubs. Especially money wise, it was the biggest non pitcher free agent signing in baseball this year. And it's the biggest offseason story in Chicago baseball. And so I think this is kind of, if you're a Chicago reporter, this is the highlight. Like, this is the thing to talk about. This is the thing to cover. And it seemed like very few reporters had questions, and their questions overall I thought were pretty bad. Sahadev Sharma asked a good question. Basically, he asked, essentially he asked Hayward about his contract being proof that teams are valuing stats and aspects of the game that maybe weren't as valued before. And I'm not sure that Hayward understood the question, but that's not Sahadev's fault. It was a good question. Paul Sullivan asked, like, I think it was the second question, and his question was about the negativity coming from St. Louis fans. And I just thought that was really stupid. I thought it was a terrible question, and it wasn't the time or place for it. If there even is a time or place to bring that up to a professional baseball player, I don't understand why a reporter would ask that question. It's like junior high playground drama. You know, this was the opportunity to ask questions to help us get to know Jason Hayward better and to dig a little bit deeper. And instead it was like this, oh, did you hear what so-and-so is saying about you? I mean, it seemed completely ridiculous to me. But what else would you expect from Paul Sullivan? You know, so I guess it fits, but I don't know, just besides him, like while I was
just
listening,
tell us when the rant's over. Okay.
No. Well, just in general, like, while I was listening, there were long, awkward pauses, just waiting for someone else to ask a question. And I thought that was pretty disappointing because you had, you know, like I said, the biggest signing, you had Theo and Jed both up there, and there just weren't many questions, and it wasn't really that interesting. I thought the press conference was really disappointing, and I think the Lester one was more interesting, and obviously the Madden one was. But I was disappointed in it.
So, well, I hadn't really thought that much about one of the selling points for a young free agent being the fact that, you know, the players that are already there are going to be there for quite a while once you get there. And I hadn't really thought about that because you don't want to go somewhere where it's looking like it's an effective team and it's going to do some damage, but then there's a ton of turnover like during your tenure there. So he was saying like, it's so great that for the time span that he's going to be there, he can expect these young players that he saw in the playoffs do so well against the Cardinals and all season long are going to be there with him. And he mentioned growing with them, you know? And so Hayward is only 26. And so he's a guy that kind of is, you know, already one of the older guys on the team, but also he still has a lot of growth to do and a lot of growing to do also, I'm sure. And so it's cool that he's going to go to this team that, you know, it's the same core of guys in place for quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting to think about somebody signing a long-term contract and with the opt-outs and everything, knowing exactly who your teammates are going to be for the next 3 or 4 years. I mean, there aren't many baseball teams in general that you can expect to not see very much turnover. And any turnover there is to make the team better. Unlike some players that saw a lot of turnover with the Cubs 2 or 3 years ago, and each move kind of at that time made the Cubs a little bit worse in the short term. I think that even though Cardinals fans and the writers in St. Louis and everything find his and Matheny himself find all of that so offensive, I think it's somewhat true. I mean, he kind of pointed out that Molina maybe has a couple years left. Wainwright has a couple of years left, and Hayward pointed out that those are and same with help me out here. Their left fielder.
Holiday.
Yes, Holiday. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because those are the guys that Matheny brought up as like, oh, hey, we have a core too, you know?
Right. Yeah. And Hayward said, like, those are the guys, I think he said, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but if I remember right, I read that he said that those are the guys that kind of like this last year were kind of like his mentors or something to that effect. And that those guys are probably going to be gone by the, you know, whenever his first opt-out is or whenever his contract ends, they're not going to be there. And there is a little bit of, I guess, uncertainty as to what that lineup will be and what that organization will be when those guys are gone. So yeah, it's interesting to look at it that way, that right now the Cubs have probably the most stable team, stable lineup and stable roster in all of baseball, which imagine saying that two years ago.
Right. Yeah. Over the span of just a couple of years, going to from being like one of the most volatile to being the most stable, is that's crazy when you think about it.
And I think even at the time, like 2 or 3 years ago, we knew that's like kind of like, if you would have told me this, it'd be like, oh yeah, that's kind of what the Cubs are trying to set up. But this lineup appears to be more stable than I thought it would be. I mean, they're just, it's kind of surprising how well everything has come together, and that as of now, if you look at, I mean, you can't really speak to the future or anything, but as of right now, like, it's not like, you have a hard time finding the guy that's in the lineup right now that's like, well, I don't know, like he did okay this year, but I don't think long term he's what it, you know, I don't see him being there long term. Like every one of those pieces appears to be somebody that can and will stick.
Yeah.
So anything else you wanted to say about that before we move on to listener questions?
No, let's move on.
Okay. So this first question, as if there wasn't enough non-baseball discussion before we started recording. This one's from a few weeks ago, and it's off topic, and with all the off-season moves these last few weeks, we didn't really have a good spot to fit it in. And this is from Kathy, and she says that this off-season, can you three tell us more about yourselves? I only started listening this year and don't know much about your background. And so I think for the people that have listened to us for years probably feel like they know us pretty well. But people that have found us recently maybe don't know us as well, and are probably a bit confused by some of our inside jokes.
Yeah, you're just going to have to go back and listen from the beginning.
It's only 370 episodes.
Right. Time-sensitive episodes, too. So it's like none of the material, like where we talked about Yoervis Medina, whenever, however long ago that was,
or
it's worthless.
Ian Stewart.
Right.
Yeah, some of the inside jokes have kind of trailed off, so.
Yeah. You don't hear horsey sauce thrown out there very often.
That's old school.
Yep. So I don't know. What do you guys want to share?
Oh man,
that feels like
I could share my pant size. I mean, that's
there you go. That's fun. That's an inside joke. Is Kurt's pant size?
Yeah. Well, it's not even. I mean, you know, it's not even really a joke. It's just funny to you guys. It's real. I live with it every day.
Maybe we should all say our pant size.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
33-36. There it is. Yeah.
I forget. Do you maybe have mentioned this? Do you have to order your pants off the internet?
Yeah, the internet, Corey. Yes. My pants come from this mysterious place called the internet.
Can you
World Wide Web sends you pants?
Like, can you walk into the Gap and find a pair of jeans?
No, I can't. There is no store that I can walk into. But, you know.
Do you go to like, is the website you go to like Herb's Big and Tall?
Yeah, no, because in America, big and tall means fat.
Right.
You
know,
it doesn't mean tall. It means fat. So, you know, no offense to our larger brothers and sisters out there. It just, you know, it just doesn't work for me.
To our rotund brothers and sisters out there.
We're a 53-22. You know, great, but that size doesn't work for me.
Besides your pant size, what else would you like to share?
That's all you need to know about me is my pant size. I want one of you to go first because I don't want to share something weird and then you guys be like, oh, I would never share that. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You want to go, Andy? I can go.
Yeah, you go first. Okay.
Well, I guess inside jokes, involving my situation, chickens, of course. I'm known for raising chickens. I'm known for cleaning fish. And I'm known for driving distances that Kurt finds ridiculous. I'm in education. I'm not a teacher. I'm a counselor for high school students with disabilities. And it's a transition program. And the purpose of the program is to help prepare special education students for life after high school. So I mainly focus on employment. So trying to give high school kids the skills that they need to be successful in finding work and maintaining that employment. So one of the main things that I do is I produce a video podcast for our students, but it's available to anyone. So if anyone listening knows a teenager that needs help building up their pre-employment or their work skills, they can watch these videos. They are at QCSTEP, like QCSTEP.com. And although the podcast is for students in my district, it's available to anyone. And the information isn't necessarily specific to people with disabilities. I have a wife. Her name is Tawny. And she hosts a podcast called Mommy's Cocktail Hour. And she recently started listening to the IVMV podcast. It only took her like 7 years to get on board. She was finally convinced like we weren't going to go away. You know, like, I guess it's worth investing time listening to. So, and I have two daughters, third grade and second grade. I am the president of our town's baseball association. And so that was discussed this last summer. And last summer I coached two teams. My goal this year is to not coach any teams. So we'll see if that works. Or maybe just to be like an assistant coach. That's me, I guess. I don't really know what else to say.
That's it. That's me.
And it is December 20th, and we took down our Christmas lights today. I'm that kind of guy.
Just get a head start on that. You break out of the nutshell.
Check that box. Go ahead, Andy.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm a high school English teacher. I teach all 12th graders. I have for the past couple of years. This is my 8th year as a teacher. So I'm kind of a veteran, I guess, at this point. I'm an introvert and generally kind of shy. So I don't know how I became a teacher of all things.
Or a podcaster.
Or a podcaster. let's see. I have a wife, Beth. She is very frequently in the chat. In fact, I think she might be tonight. I'm not sure. But I also have a son who is 5. And I like playing music. In fact, Corey and I used to be in a band together a long time ago. I don't think he likes to own that anymore.
I recently watched one of our videos of us playing Don't Bring Me Down by ELO, because it is on the IVMV host Spotify playlist. ska band in the 90s. Andrew asks in the chat. I was never in a ska band. Yeah. Were you in a ska band, Andy? You played saxophone. You had to have been in a ska band.
The saxophone. No, I was never in a ska band. But I did like ska at one point. Well, because like I playing the saxophone in band is, you know, it's kind of a nerdy thing, I guess. Somebody made music for me, you know. It was like, I don't know, we all did. We all did, Andy.
I can say I did not like ska.
Those were not the good old days.
That's how you're going to end it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's how you ended it. And I liked ska.
That everyone is like completely tuned out. I'll go ahead and share my story.
Did you not like ska?
I don't know. I'm a graphic designer. And so I work normal people hours and I work summers. So like when the whole Where's Bert thing comes up, it's usually because these two, you know, having their 38 weeks of vacation and I'm stuck at work pulling down giant salaries.
I'll be putting in about 40 hours this week. I'm supposed to be off grading. So,
So that's why, you know, I'm probably the most distant one. I'm not as into social media and I don't pay attention as much. I just sort of, I'm along for the ride. And I am also married. My wife is Lana. I have two boys who are, one's almost 4 and the other just turned 1. And they're both huge. Well, I assume Ellis is, because he likes the baseball, but Liam's a huge Cubs fan. And
man, that I have to jump in for a second. That video of him dancing to the Charlie Brown song is the most amazing video I've ever seen.
And they're both pretty good dancers for being redheaded, you know, white kids. So yeah, they love dancing. I don't know what else to say. Pant size we've covered. I live in Iowa City, but I'm not a Hawkeyes fan. And I do attempt to play the banjo. Thanks, Lauren. So,
from what I've heard, it's pretty good. You play pretty. You're getting good. Yeah.
Well, you can. I try. I play clawhammer, which is like the real hillbilly style. So,
I really enjoy. I like the sound of clawhammer. The bluegrass style, like the picking style, is really good when people are like insanely fast. But like as a whole, I really enjoy the clawhammer sound.
Yep. Yeah, that's me.
All right, and that's us.
If you have more specific questions, you can email us and we'll maybe answer.
All right, so moving on back to baseball stuff. This first question here, and these questions came from our Facebook group for our Patreon supporters, and that group is another perk for contributing on Patreon. We usually kind of forget to bring that perk up. It's a great group, and there's lots of kind of crummy Cubs Facebook groups out there. There are some good ones for sure. But what I really like about this one is that it's small, lots of good discussion, and it's a really cool way for our Patreon supporters to kind of get to know each other. And if you want access to that group and all the other perks that we offer, then go to patreon.com/IVMB. That's patreon.com/IVMB. So this first one here comes from Dawn, and she says, am I crazy or have the Pirates done nothing in the offseason except lose guys Walker, Alvarez, Hap, Burnett? Are they still expected to be as great as they were the past few years? I ask because I have a feeling the wildcard teams might not be coming from the Central this year. The West looks strong, and the Mets and Nats get to beat up on the Braves, Marlins, and Phillies all year. We need to win the division.
All right, so you really froze out there, so I'm just going to roll with what I assume you just read. I wouldn't count out the Pirates because while they did lose those guys, I mean, Walker, I think they tried to re-sign him, probably ended up being not really wanting the deal they were offering. Alvarez, I don't think you're losing much there. He was kind of a liability. Burnett retired. Hap was pretty decent, but again, probably too expensive. And they just don't have the money to, spend. So when you look at the core they have, and we talked about that with the Cubs and what Hayward mentioned, I think that they're still sitting pretty good. When they've got McCutcheon, Marte, Polanco, Kong, and Cervelli, all those guys under 30, pretty good young core. And then you've got Cole and Liriano at the top of the rotation. The rest of the rotation is kind of decent, but pretty good depth. So I don't know. I wouldn't count out the Pirates. I think they probably could have done some things to make themselves better, but given how good they've been the last couple of years, I definitely don't count them out, given that this core has playoff experience. Granted, they lost, but they're going to be in contention.
Yeah, I do feel like, though, that the I don't think all three wildcard teams are going to come out of the Central again this year.
You mean all three playoffs?
Or what did I say? All three wild cards?
Yeah.
No, yeah, the two wild cards. I think the West is a lot stronger this year. And I think Dawn's right. I think the Cubs need to win this division. And there's really no reason that they shouldn't, I don't think. I mean, it's not to dismiss what the Cardinals have done in the lineup that the Pirates have, but I think that I think the Cubs need to win the division.
Yeah, but I could see one of the wild cards coming out of the Central for sure. I mean, the Cardinals just are always there,
Right.
And again, the Pirates, I just don't think that I think they're still in contention. So,
yeah, it would just be nice to own the division. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, the Central is going to be really, really tough again, I think.
Yeah. These next few questions come from Dave. He says, Wilson Contreras going to see the show this year?
Yeah, a lot of people are kind of wondering about him since he did win the Southern League batting title last season in Tennessee with a 333, 478, and 891 slash line. He hit 8 home runs and drove in 75. So yeah, he had a great season last year. And he's been around a while. I mean, he started in Boise in 2011. I didn't realize this, but when I was looking into him, he converted from third base to catcher in 2012. So he hasn't played catcher a very long time. And so that's the main thing that makes me not really see him being anything but a September call-up perhaps in 2016. He does have a good arm, you know, the potential to stifle a running game, but he still has to develop in that area as well as with receiving. So, you know, I don't think it does a developing catcher like him any good to be called up to be blocked, you know, as an everyday catcher by Montero or even as a backup by Ross. And, you know, they have 4 catchers also. So I don't see him even getting called up to be a backup until, you know, Montero, Ross are gone, honestly. But they did add him to the 40-man roster not long ago to protect him from the Rule 5 draft. He's obviously a guy that they value quite a bit. And so I think that he'll play for Iowa this season and continue to work on his catching skills.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, he's just definitely blocked at this point. And unless I don't see that changing at all, unless the Cubs are somehow able to, you know, decide to move Montero in a trade or something like that, or there's for injury reasons. But even then, I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening at all in the first half of the season. So, Dave also asks for our predictions on Hap. Will he reach AAA this year? So just to refresh you, if you've forgotten, Ian Happ, he was the Cubs' first pick in the 2015 draft this last summer. I think, what was it, 9th overall? I think. 8th, 9th, somewhere in there. I can't remember. But he played 29 games with Eugene, and he ended the season playing 38 games with South Bend in low A. His slash line with South Bend was 241, 315, 448. So not spectacular, but after the season, he went and played in the Instructional League. He was on the Cubs roster in the Instructs as a second baseman. He's also able to play all 3 outfield positions. So I don't know if Hap is necessarily on the fast track to the big leagues that other first-round picks like Schwarber and Bryant that they were on. There are people that know prospects much better than we do. John Arguello, for example. But I'm guessing that Hap probably spends 2016 in Myrtle Beach and possibly Tennessee. I think the Cubs can take their time with players like Hap now. I think with it, really, we've been somewhat spoiled recently by players like Schwarber, Bryant, maybe throw Soler in there too. These guys did not spend you know, extended time in the minors, but that's not really the norm outside of those elite type players. And Ian Happ is not Chris Bryant. And I think that from now on, we're going to see a lot more of the Cubs players taking a more traditional route to the majors. I just don't think we're going to see people blazing through the minors like those 3 that we mentioned or that I mentioned. So I think it's kind of one of those things where when you're the Cubs and you had the number, you know, 2-3 picks in the entire draft, you can select guys, especially advanced college bats like those, like Schwarber and Bryant, and that can kind of happen. But for the most part, it takes time to develop, and I think Ian's going to need that development. And then Dave asks, is Underwood going to push for the 5th starter?
I think a lot of the answers you just gave about Hap are probably true. I mean, no, Underwood's probably is further along than Hap, but, you know, I think he's probably not ready yet, maybe 2017. I'm guessing he maybe starts in Tennessee this year and maybe works his way to Iowa, but I don't see him competing for the 5th, especially since they picked up Warren. I think he's probably a better competitor for that 5th spot than Underwood. And, you know, the front office has been pretty clear about the fact that the homegrown pitching hasn't kind of panned out. Like they didn't push that as much. They're sort of going for quantity, not quality. And, you know, nobody's kind of emerged or moved up quickly. And so they're kind of just waiting and seeing. And I think he'll be one of the first, but I don't think it's going to be this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was a good segue. You mentioned Adam Warren. And Dave says, I'm psyched for Adam Warren. Do you think he will be a starter? I think it's quite possible that Warren will be a starter. If you see the projections that we referenced on last week's episode, you'd sure like to see him get a shot at the rotation, if those are any glimpse of what he could be. But the way that the Cubs used and Joe Maddon used the pitching staff last year, and the way that they are constructing the pitching staff for 2016, I don't think that the staff as a whole is going to be used in a real traditional way. I share your excitement about Adam Warren, and I think the flexibility that he offers is really nice to have. It'll be interesting to see how he performs in spring training and early in the season. I would guess my initial prediction is that he starts in the bullpen and then maybe pushes his way into a spot in the rotation. And in the meantime, when he's in the bullpen, being used in the Trevor Cahill, Travis Wood type role. Do you guys think that Maddon will kind of have that strategy with the pitching staff that he did late in the season? Do you think we'll see that even early on in 2016?
I sort of think you probably could err on the side of more stability, unless, you know.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying like four innings. I'm not saying like four innings pitched, but for the starters, but maybe six, you know, instead of.
Yeah.
The thing that sucks was that, well, it didn't suck at all, was that Jake Arrieta really kind of forced their hand. I mean, when a dude is throwing like a no hitter, you have to let him go, you know, like, and the way that he was pitching and at times in tight games, I mean, you kind of have to like ride your horses. But I think that seeing that the pitching staff really kind of run out of steam in the playoffs and in the NLCS means that I think we'll make, especially considering, you know, Lester's a little bit older. Lackey is 37. I think that we will see those long, you know, the Cahills and the Woods and Warrens, if he's in the bullpen, I think we'll see them get a good number of innings.
Yeah, and I think they're definitely going to try to keep Arrieta's innings pitched down versus like this year. I think he almost got to 230, maybe just short of it. But, you know, Lackey, you can let him pitch till his arm falls off. It doesn't really matter.
Well, I still think you want him in the playoffs, though.
Oh, sure. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, I think given Arrieta coming off such a big year last year, you're going to be a little more cautious with him than, like,
right.
Than like. But
a more disposable.
But yeah, piece. Early in the season, I think that, yeah, he'll probably let him go. And then later on, he'll bring out the hook again.
Yeah. And the last question here from Dave is any news on Neil Ramirez?
There's not really any news on him, although I wouldn't really necessarily expect there to be, since his last DL stint was for abdominal soreness that he said he felt he tweaked it maybe when he sneezed. So, but the main, I mean, he was on the DL a lot in 2015, which was really disappointing after he showed the ability to be pretty dang effective in the out of the bullpen in 2014 for the Cubs. I love the guy's stuff. I'm a big fan personally, but the key DL stint this season was he was on the DL for shoulder inflammation for 2 months. He when he had an MRI, they found out he didn't have any structural damage or anything like that, but still he came back for a little while and then he had to go on the DL for that abdominal soreness issue a couple times. So I would expect that he'll be fresh and ready to go in spring training and you know, we'll see. Hopefully he's able to be a little bit more durable this season. But he's the type of guy that it would be incredible if they could stretch him out to be a starting pitcher because he has a good repertoire of pitches, but it's just not going to happen because of his injury history.
Right. Yeah. JP says, can you guys on one of the podcasts coming up, how about this one? Let's make it this one. Discuss if the team stays the way it looks as of today, who you'd be comfortable trading from the minors that would get some value in return, since most of them appear stuck now. And if you were Theo, would you go that route just to be done at least till the trade deadline or injury, as I'm pretty sure we've gotten 8 games better at least, while many other contenders from this year got worse? Or are you in the trade Soler / Baez camp, and why?
A lot. I guess I wouldn't. I could see either thing happen. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if nothing big happens from here on out. I don't think, you know, a gigantic deal is going to happen. And the team right now, you could field this team and you'd be just fine. But I also don't think that rules them out from making another deal. So I could see that going either way. And as far as like the trade Soler Baez, I was probably thinking that was more likely before the Castro deal. And now I think if the right deal comes along, they would include them, but they're not looking to trade them.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that. I think that there's some minor league pieces that they could move, you know, maybe even at the trade deadline, like Dan Vogelbach. I like Dan Vogelbach, but I don't know. I could see him being a piece in a trade, given the fact that he's a first baseman, kind of similar makeup physically to Schwarber.
Yeah, I just think right now I'm not sure there's anyone in the minors that holds a great deal of trade value. I'm sure that there are some players in there that the other teams might be interested in, but they're not going to have a huge return. And if you think about a Vogelbach or a Almora, they haven't really seen Triple A. You know, it's just hard to like look at somebody that was in Double A and has been in the system for what, three years or 4 years, whatever it is. And to really, I just don't think that they have the value that Cubs prospects, say, a year ago with Bryant and Schwarber. I think they held a lot more value than those pieces that are in the minors right now. So I just don't think you would get a huge return on them. And I think they could be like just pieces of a trade. But I don't think it's going to be like a foundation or anything. If you heard Theo on The Score with Bruce Levine Saturday morning, it sounded like they're pretty content with what they have. And I think that's just fine. That's okay with me. Theo was asked specifically about Soler, and it sure sounded like they're really high on him. And it didn't sound like they had felt any pressure to move him. And he said that he's happy with Hayward in center and Soler in right. And it sounds like that they asked. I thought it was hilarious because it said that Theo said that they asked Soler to get more athletic. Is that what they said? Or in shape? Yeah. Something like that. Like, in this off season, and I was like, what the heck? How does that dude get more athletic?
Well, I got the sense that it was like to kind of, I don't know, become a little bit leaner.
Right. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. Which would make him a little more mobile, in the outfield. But they said that, you know, they've given him some things to work on in the off season that he's, you know, working really well. And I guess he's spending a lot of time in the off season, in the outfield and working on things. And I really think that even though Schwarber and Soler were exposed, I think I said this last week, even though they were exposed in the NLCS, I think their defense could get better. I don't think, you know, Schwarber, neither of them are going to be like a gold glove, you know, outfielder, but I think that they could get a lot better with like the routes that they run in the outfield and you know, just instincts from time out there. Especially Schwarber, but
yeah, I mean, those balls, like some of the balls that gave them trouble in the playoffs, I mean, you got to think they're going to be able to fix stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of that. I mean, some of it is instincts and just, you know, kind of being able to, like, for instance,
just have reps,
right? Yeah. I think that it's something you can develop. So I think that they'll stand pat with what they have. And, I think maybe we'll see how things, you know, I could see pieces maybe being moved around the trade deadline. That might be
Yeah.
A time that happens.
Because like needs are going to arise or make themselves known.
Yeah.
Over the course of the season. And I think, yeah, their path going, you know, as far as their march toward the playoffs, it's going to become a lot clearer what exactly they need.
Yeah. Yep. And to go along with that, Jose asked a question here. Do you think the Cubs are going to make a pitching move before the start of the season or wait till the All-Star break?
It seems like All-Star break to me, you know.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to say the I word, but you know that's what could really bring some need in the pitching department.
Yeah. I think there's pitching that the Cubs are interested in, like pitchers that the Indians have. Like I said, I don't think that they feel a lot of pressure right now. I mean, this pitching staff looks really strong to me. And I just think we need to keep our fingers crossed for good health and see where we're at the trade deadline.
Yeah, they just need to get in someone else with the Kyle Hendricks has to go because his first name doesn't start with J. So we need to get a 1-5 with all. That would be the only reason to make a move.
Well, and then, but yeah, but then Adam Warren might slip in, and then yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess that can't happen.
Okay, different Adam here. What says? Is the national attention being paid to the Cubs these days and all throughout the season, presumably? And maybe even more, the stories about all the national attention being paid to the Cubs, all the pressure, blah, 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 something you guys will get sick of soon, during spring training, during the season, or never?
This is an easy one for me because, like I said, when I was talking about myself, like I'm the like distant one who doesn't pay attention. I don't have like cable or anything, so I have Twitter and I have you two texting me. And so as far as like national media, like for me, the Cubs is about like BSing with you guys and doing this podcast and watching games. And I really don't pay attention to national media. I never watch ESPN unless there's a game. So, I'm kind of out on that one. They haven't annoyed me yet, 'cause I don't see it.
Well, yeah, that being said, like for me, I think when I'm forced to pay attention to it, you know, ESPN Sunday night or something like that, then it will definitely irritate me. But yeah, I'm going to tune it out for the most part.
Yeah. I think, what will annoy me is not the attention. It will be, Cardinals fans and even, doubting Cubs fans that will say, well, they did it when there was no pressure. So let's see, if they can do it when there are expectations and pressure. You know, I think Cardinals fans and opposing teams fans are going to say that, but really what really gets me is Cubs fans that say that, and that kind of annoys me. I mean, I trust Joe Maddon, and he is a manager that took a bunch of kids and won 97 games in the regular season, took them to the NLCS, and had solutions to the pressures that the team faced, and pressure that they had never seen before at the time. You know, I mean, this team did have pressure on it this year. When things look bad, that's when the season turned around after being swept by the Cardinals in St. Louis in June and going out and beating the Mets. And I think that might've been the 4-game sweep of the Mets and the great pitching that the Mets had. And then later being swept by the Phillies and then turning it around and going on a crazy tear. I'm going to trust Joe Maddon, and I'm going to believe that he can help them manage the pressure. And I really just kind of think if you're a Cubs fan and you find yourself saying, well, let's see if this team can win with pressure. They've shown they can do it with, you know, no pressure and just go out and play ball. But let's see how they do with pressure. I think in a way you're kind of looking for failure. I don't think you're hoping for it, but I think you're like preparing yourself for it. And I think that kind of like, with the just as fun as the 2015 season was, I don't know why we have to like kind of let that stuff back in. You know, like 2015 proved that this team, this group of players is different than anything we've seen before as Cubs fans. And so if you can't like just, I don't know how to say it. Like, just support your team and have fun with it. You know, like I don't think we need to like I don't see a point in really like guarding ourselves emotionally. Like we're already screwed up emotionally. We're Cubs fans. So like don't guard yourself. Just have fun and enjoy it.
All right. Well said.
I don't know how I got there. Okay. Sean says, pennant clinching home run falls in your lap. What do you ask for in exchange? Oh, sure. We're good, pious people that wouldn't ask for anything in return. And then he says in parentheses, I'm not. But if you were a greedy slob, what would you ask for? Sean says, I would ask for a few autographed balls from my closest Cub fan friends, and which I am assuming he's talking about us, and an annual donation to the nonprofit I work for to be auctioned at our fundraiser, which would likely be bought by me. So the pennant clinching home run falls in your lap. I guess this means you're going to give it back to the team, give it to the player, or whatever. What do you ask for in return?
I'd probably go with like a game-worn jersey or something, like an autographed game-worn jersey. Something like that. Nothing too crazy. I wouldn't ask for a bunch of stuff, but maybe like one good thing like that.
You get the Gary Jones one.
Yeah, I know. Here you go. Well, hopefully I would be...
Buster Strode coming right up.
It would be the player who hit said home run. Not, you know, Lester.
Oh, man.
But I'd probably take the Lester Strode autographed jersey. I think it'd be awesome. I'd wear it.
No, I would want the autographed game-worn jersey of the player and Lester Strode's game-worn jersey. So then you have to, like...
Lester Strode's pants picture, and the like, player's Chris, jersey.
Then you envision Chris Bryant going awkwardly to ask him for his jersey.
So... I don't. Yeah, I was thinking about this today, and I was thinking, you know, I don't really. I mean, I guess I wouldn't. If they were like, oh, here's this pack of things, then I'd be like, oh, cool, thank you. But I wouldn't ask for anything, and if I would ask for something, I think kind of like Sean said, I would, you know, maybe have like a cause or a nonprofit or something like that that I would want it to benefit, and just say, oh, you know, give whatever to this cause.
No, I think you got to ask, because if you don't ask, like, you're going to get like a Cubs mouse pad or something from mouse the basement.
Pad. You, yeah, say mouse, like, mouse pad or mouth, yeah, pad?
No, well, you get both. You get a mouth pad mouse.
Okay, so you catch this home run, and you're telling me like you're going to like go up and like be like, okay, this is what I want in exchange for this baseball.
I think they kind of approach you. This has never happened to me. I don't know. But don't they kind of approach you?
This hasn't happened to you?
with like, okay, what can we... I think you just have to play it off like, you know, I just want to keep it. And then they'll be like, all right, what's it going to take? They all know. It's kind of an established...
I guess I don't know that much about this. I just...
Yeah, I think everybody goes into this knowing that they're going to get something out of it.
Yeah, I'd like an autographed snow leopard.
but agreed, if it came down to it and like I had to play, you know, get pushy, I wouldn't do it. I'd just be like, okay, it's cool. I mean, because I don't have a lot of memorabilia, so
right,
I wouldn't be super disappointed if I didn't have it.
Well, that's the next question here. Let's transition. Joe asks, what is your favorite piece of Cubs memorabilia?
I think the only thing significant I have is a Fergie autographed baseball that I bought. That one of those. Everything else is kind of worthless. I do have a Jeff Samardzija bobblehead back here somewhere.
Wow.
My favorite Cubs memorabilia that I have, well, like, I don't know. I mean, I have some things that were kind of like handed down from my grandpa. So, I mean, there's like kind of those sentimental things, like there's like a 1971 Cubs team card that I've been able to have different players on that team sign the card. That was my grandpa's. So, I mean, like, I guess those things, just because my grandpa is the reason that I am a Cubs fan. And so those mean a lot to me. But otherwise, I've got, if you're watching the video, you can see right here, I have a seat from Wrigley Field with the plaque on it and everything like that. And that was actually my cousin's husband found that at a yard sale for like $10. or $15 or something like that. And so, I don't know. I guess that's kind of, I really like that.
That was cool. I don't have a lot of cool stuff, you know, personally. I have my Ted Lilly autographed ball now. So that's pretty sweet.
Bucket list.
In the background, you can see I have a Cubs record entitled Cub Power. That's actually features the voices of a lot of the 1969 Cubs team. So you can hear a young Ron Santo on it, for example, thanking the Cubs fans. And then it has like really awkward, like I think the B side has like this really awkward Cubs fan chants section where it's like a bunch of Cubs fans like doing their bleacher bum chants or whatever. And it's pretty funny. But yeah, nothing too crazy, like aside from that, and you know, some pages of Ryan Sandberg baseball cards and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, the three of us just aren't really like memorabilia people, which is weird because I have all this stuff behind me, but this is like literally all I have. And I was just like, oh, I need to like frame this video shot. So I'm just going to throw a bunch of stuff, except I can't reach it, but I have an 8x10 of Vance Law over here on the wall.
That also ranks up there.
But yeah, we're not really memorabilia guys. So
I like seeing other people's collections, but I don't have much myself.
Yeah.
Same.
Yep. One more question here. I believe it's the last one. And this is from Lauren, who is in the chat. She says, what are your thoughts on some of the utility players from last season? Primarily, who do you think we're going to see more or less of in 2016? LaStella, Caesar, Coughlin, etc. Given the signing of Zobrist and the potential additions of Soler to right and Baez to center.
Probably, I don't know, I guess I'd go with probably Coughlin just because, you know, he'll play left or I suppose potentially right if you needed to give somebody a day off or match up better. I don't know. That's a good question.
Wait a second. Coughlin, is he even signed for 2016?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I think 2016 is his last. Is it his last year?
I thought he was just signed through 2015. I don't know. Now I sound stupid, but I'm looking at the Cots contracts page actually. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a good answer to that question. I think that's the kind of thing that'll work itself out in spring training, you know?
Well, I think the tendency is to think that we won't see those guys that much just because we've talked about the stability of this roster in the lineup, but I think they're going to get used. You know, every game matters in 2016. For the Cubs. And I think that we'll see LaStella and Coughlin in defensive substitution situations with Schwarber and Soler. You know, LaStella could come in and replace Zobrist at second base, and then Zobrist could slide into either corner outfield spot. And really, you know, Coughlin is more of than just a defensive substitution too. I mean, he had a bit of a down year at the plate in 2015. Not terrible though. And he hit with more
16 pop. Home runs.
Right. He hit with more pop than he had throughout his career. So I think Coughlin will probably get more playing time than LaStella, but of course we all know that LaStella will be hashtag ASG worthy. That won't slow him down.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Coughlin is not a free agent until 2017. My apologies.
As for Matt Caesar, I don't know. I like Caesar a lot, but he is what he is. And I don't see him being used a lot by the Cubs in 2016. He does well at AAA, and I think really his only shot would probably be with another team. I think he's a good fifth outfielder. And I don't know, as much of a slam as that sounds, I don't really mean it that way. But I think he's the kind of a guy that would fit into a like a 2012 Cubs type of team. You know, he's kind of like a Darwin Barney without the gold glove. And I realize that's a ridiculous thing to say, but because I do like Matt Caesar, but
yeah.
He is what he is. And I don't think there's much room or if any room for him on this roster. Anything else to add, guys?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. So internet muscle flexes, do you guys have any this week?
I have one.
No, The one I texted you earlier, I can't read it.
Oh, you need to. It's so good. It's so good.
All right. Well, we'll just have to give that's a disclaimer gotta, before I read it.
Yeah, that's got to be the final one. It's so good. I'll have to tell you, like, I really enjoy this week. John from the Hen House Prowlers listens to the podcast, and he sent one to me on Facebook, and it, I don't know, it is so hilarious. Just, I think he got these from like the Cubs.com articles, which we don't really go to anymore. But I'll just read one of the things that was on this. So it was about signing John Baker to his role. And it said, one person says, Cubs continue to add character people. And then the next person says, let's hope his ability equals his so-called character. That statistically didn't happen while he was a player. And like, I tried like dissecting that sentence and I cannot figure out, like, I know what they mean, but man, they do not word it right at all.
Well,
I also like it that they called it so-called character.
It's, well, so since you said that, mine has to do with that as well. The, them bringing John Baker into the fold. And so, mine comes from Cubs Facebook. And it is a picture of John Baker basically like embracing Hector Rondon. And so this guy posted the picture and then he captioned it saying, pictured the best closer in Cubs history and Hector Rondon.
Okay, well, I found one on Cubs Instagram on John Baker, and it's the opposite. And this person simply says, bad player, John Baker.
All right.
All right.
Okay. I actually have a couple more I want to read.
All right.
One of these was on like the Cubs had a something on Instagram about the about Cubs being one of the most searched terms in sports on Google or whatever. Did you guys see that? I don't know. Anyways, it's, I don't know, something on Instagram about them being the one of the most searched terms in sports. And somebody commented and said, woohoo, what about Bing, though?
That's awesome.
And then, why don't you Bing that?
And then I have a couple more here. These came from like one of the pictures from Hayward's press conference. And these two are from Cardinals fans. The first one says, honestly, take him. Dude is full of lies and can't hit over 20 home runs.
Full of lies.
Lies.
He's going to have a procedure to get those lies out of him.
And then the other person, the other Cardinals fan said, salary cap is going to bite you guys in the ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So you want me to do this now?
I think you should. It's so good.
All right. Well, I'll give the disclaimer. So if you've got kids or, you know, it's sexual, mild sexual content, maybe not so mild. But this comes from Starlin Castro's Instagram. And it appears to be his wife, like, running and sort of jumping on him like she hasn't seen him in a while. And then she's got her legs wrapped around him and he's just kind of standing there holding her. You know, picture in your head. And then I assume this is a Yankees fan. Comments below. At like, it's like at three people, which are probably his friends. And he says, this what I'm talking about. Need a second baseman who gets pussy.
It's what the Yankees have been missing.
No. That department was covered. That department was covered well at short, but second baseman was lacking.
They got to bring that guy into the front office. He's really able to identify what players need to be effective.
Does Fangraphs have a stat for that?
Like when Soriano was playing second for the Yankees, that's why he got moved.
That's an advanced statistic.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Great slap copy. It's the PQ player quotient.
Oh, I literally LOL'd when you sent that before, Kurt. Like, it was so hilarious.
I did too. I'm just really uncomfortable reading it out loud, but it's hilarious.
Oh man. Whew. Good stuff.
Funny.
All right, so that does it for this week's episode. This episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon contributors. Every dime that has come in for IVMV has been invested right back into the podcast. We, the three of us, have not made a penny off this thing. We self-funded it for the first 5 or 6 years, and it's just incredible now that listeners help us keep everything going. If you enjoy what we do here and you want to help help us keep things going so that other Cubs fans like yourself can find the podcast, then check out our Patreon campaign. Pledging levels start at just $1 a month. It's like buying one of us a beer at Wrigley once a year. I guess look at it that way. If you would do that, then check out our Patreon campaign. If everyone gave just $1 a month, that would be incredible. And then maybe at that point, the three of us could make a few dimes off this thing. So, again, there's perks at every level. And if you have joined the Patreon campaign the last month or so, your perks will be in the mail here over my holiday break. You can check it all out at patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. Or you can go to IVMV.com and click on the Patreon link on the side of the page. Thank you for listening to this episode, and we will be back next week with the last episode of 2015. And until then, go Cubs.